Yes, Vember at the Star Sydney. With so much happening, how could you say no?
And here we go.
Buckle up.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier. Rush.
You cannot be serious.
I've got to see you every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation into this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
It was never in doubt, MG. From the moment Mitchell Starc sent down the first nut at the T20 World Cup, I knew it. I knew we'd be crowned champions. Didn't think we'd beat Kiwis in the final, but I knew we'd win it.
Yeah, there was a fan. Look, the drought is over. We've won five, I think, World Cups in the 50-over limit match. I think that's all about to change now because it's our first one. Can you believe it? I think it's, what, how many goes have we had at it? Six or seven at the T20 final. So the fact that we got the biggies this morning is fantastic news. Fantastic news.
I'm curious. I'm fascinated to know where the Aussie players are at right now. You know,
do you mean geographically?
Geographically, mentally, physically, emotionally.
Oh, look, this is a monumental moment for the Ashes momentum. That's what I'm looking at. All of a sudden, Justin Langer, whose coaching position was in grave jeopardy, has all of a sudden got a second life.
Yeah, what do you think? We'll get into this because I wonder whether the T20 World Cup could be a Band-Aid on the wound and not have solved the problem. But we will get into that. We've got lots to get through. We've got an update on the NRL situation because there's a host of little developments that could trigger big developments. We look at the hooker hokey pokey, as we called it the other week. Seems like there's a definite leader for Brandon Smith services and a less considerations and less contenders for Reid Marnie services. So we'll look at that. And then the big one today, MG, is confirmation that Mitchell Pearce will be leaving the Knights.
Yeah, great. We'll have him on the show tomorrow. So fantastic about that. But I think it's great for both parties. We'll discuss what it means to the Knights. For them, it's a massive loss, especially short term. But for the Catalans Dragons. I just turned Irish for a second.
Best in Scotland.
I think it's a very, very good move.
And we will be seeing if MG's paid attention to the rest of the sport from the weekend. But off the top,
what's cracking?
Maxwell looks to finish it, and he might have done it as well. Five times 50-over men's World Cup champions, a team that can never, ever be written off. And they've finally got their hands on a men's T20 World Cup trophy, and it is richly deserved.
Yes, Australia triumphing this morning by 8 wickets over New Zealand in the final of the T20 World Cup in the UAE. Did you get up for it, MG? Did you see the winning runs hit?
Yes, I did. I saw probably the last 3 or 4 overs and was never in doubt, even though... It's a look, 4 for 172, the chase. I suppose that's kind of a bit above average. You would like to get about 200, I think, runs in a final. But Kane Williamson, 85 or 48,
yes.
he was fantastic. But then it came to the Aussies. Well, Davey Warner, he shut a lot of people up. And Mitchell Marsh, what an inning, 77 off 50.
14 runs off the first 3 balls, Mitch Marsh. And before we talk a bit more about Mitch Marsh, it would be remiss of us not to pay credit where it's due to a certain... Shane Keith Warne, who earlier on in the tournament, after Australia suffered that thumping loss to England, had this to say.
You've got to start bashing it. You just have to bash it and get into beast mode. And we've got one in Mitch Marsh. I'd say he's one of our best T20 players. I just don't understand how he can't play. So for me, he has to play and bat in the power play and take advantage of only 2 players out.
And with Aaron Finch getting out early in the final this morning, that's exactly what Justin Langer did. He sent Mitch Marsh in at 3 and, first 3 balls, smacked 14 runs and went on from there and crowned player of the match. David Warner, crowned player of the tournament as well, which is a bit of redemption for him too.
Oh, look, I think, Davey Warner deserved that. I also think Adam Zampa deserved to be in the conversation as well with 13 wickets. He was fantastic. His balls out of the arm just were on target from the very get-go. And well done to the Aussies. It's a fantastic day to be an Australian cricketer because they were under some pressure when they first... Remember when they first went over there and they come off a couple of losses to Bangladesh and to the West Indies, and we're going, wow, is this the worst T20 team we've ever seen? The questions were being asked, but... Finally, they've got the last say. Well done, boys.
Well, in defence, that team that played against Bangladesh was about the worst T20 team we've ever fielded. There were a lot of the stars sat out that tour, we should say. But Justin Langer, this is a coach who throughout this year has been under all sorts of pressure. A lot of leaks about the way he deals with the players in the room. He's a hard taskmaster. Have a listen to his post-win press conference or interview that he did on the field, and there's a very strong tone here.
And we also embraced fun. You know, in these situations where everyone talks about bubble, these guys have had so much fun on and off the ground. And in this form of the game, actually in the game of cricket, it's important to have fun and enjoy it, right? And the guys have done that. And I think that was a really important part of our success here.
Who are you and what have you done with Justin Langer? He's all about the fun now, MG.
Yeah, it has to be. I think it has to be with JL. I think that if he can embrace that, a bit similar to probably Madge McGuire at the Tigers.
Yes.
You know, they have these reputations. A lot of players who speak about their coaches say that, look, you're seeing the wrong side of him at training. He's different. And a lot of Tigers players are saying, what the coach you saw in front of the cameras, he was kind of acting a little bit. And behind that, he's a genuine man. So, look, at the end of the day, you judge by what you win. Quite simply. And Justin Langer has just won the World Cup with the T20 team that he had in harmony. That's a big sign. And a lot of people will be saying, is it a Band-Aid effect? Is this going to be a little scratch to cover over while the Ashes are looming? But I don't think so. I think he's got at least till after the Ashes, way after the Ashes. I think this gives him another year at the helm by doing what he's done with the T20 team.
I think he's got to win the Ashes. I think he's got to win the Ashes.
I think he'll do that easily.
Okay. All right, I think he's got to win the Ashes. And look, it's easy to... it strikes me that T20 is an easy game to have fun as a group. Mm. Ashes are 5-2 series against the old enemy here on home soil with all the constant pressure of the media build up day after day in between the test matches. I think that's a different kettle of fish. But let's not gloss over what the Aussies achieved in this tournament. A fantastic performance. Well done to all involved. This summer, the rivalry between Australia and England is set to explode. January 5th to the 9th at the SCG. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketek, the Vodafone Ashes series. It just means more. Now, MG, the big story in rugby league today is Mitchell Pearce. This is a man who has achieved just about everything there is to in the game of rugby league. And now it is official. He will bid farewell to the NRL to join up with the Catalan Dragons in the Super League. From next season, it's bye-bye Mitchell.
Yeah, it's a massive loss. It's a massive loss, especially short-term for the Newcastle Knights, because it doesn't look like they've got anyone, especially Luke Brooks, who was mooted as being going there. Doesn't look like they've got anyone short-term to get there and fill that void. So for the Knights, it's a massive loss. But look, I see something positive coming out of this. I think Drinkwater from the Cowboys has been linked to the
Knights.
That's
a name, yeah.
And I'd love to see Drinkwater under Andrew Johns as tuition, because at the moment Scotty Drinkwater seems to have a real problem with that last play. He doesn't know when to run, to kick, to pass. And I think that's something that Andrew Johns is the world's best at. And I think he could automatically change the way he is. Another point is that Cowboys seem to have 14 halfbacks that they've got up on their roster. So the fact that he's going to be pushing for a spot each week in that lineup. I think it's time maybe that he has a real good look at the Newcastle Knights setup. He'd be awesome there with Andrew John as his tutor.
Okay, so I agree with you, I understand why the Cowboys are probably prepared to let Scott Drinkwater go and join his old halves mate Jake Clifford at the Knights. What do you honestly think this does for the Knights? I know that Andrew Johns is going to probably improve any player that he works with, but this is a team that made finals this year and is expecting to go on push up. You've got Kalen Ponga coming into his own year after year. They now recruited Tyson Frizzell. Brayley's that little bit more experienced. You've got the Saifidi twins getting back. Do they have a halves pairing that can run them into that third week of the NRL finals in 2022?
No, not at the moment they don't. Not at the moment they don't, because I think the fact that Mitchell Pearce has left, as I said, he's a competition winning halfback. He's played for his state. He's an all round great player. You take that out of any team, and Kalen Ponga might even get restless now that he knows that he's gone. He might start to think, well, you know what, this kind of reinforces my notion that I want to leave the Knights and go somewhere like the Dolphins, because Mitchell won't be here. His presence gone is going to be a hard way for us to lose, hard way for us to win games. So, look, it's going to have a big domino effect. Mitchell Pearce's signature on the Catalan Dragons contract is going to have a massive, massive effect on the Knights. But which way it will go, who knows? Who knows? Look, they might. Sometimes when the main man leaves, the other guys find their voice. Look at Nathan Cleary with James Maloney. Ever since James Maloney left the Panthers, Nathan Cleary's gone next level. So. Yep. Have the Knights got a player that's, maybe a Tex Hoy in the halves, or or someone like that who can just go next level without Mitchell Pearce being there. I don't know.
Or maybe Caelan Ponga really steps into that on-field leadership role with Mitchell not being there on a permanent basis. And for those that missed it, we spoke about this last week. Obviously, Caelan Ponga, that contract revelation of his, as you described it, more clauses than the North Pole. He has the ability to, those last 2 years of his contract are in his favour. So 2023, 2024, they are in Caelan Ponga's favour. He can tell the Knights, I think it's by round 11 or thereabouts, middle of next season, whether that he wants to activate those final 2 years of his contract. Now, if he chooses not to, and if things aren't going well, you would imagine that the Dolphins will have a nice little stash of cash set aside ready to go for that man. But that puts an enormous amount of pressure, I would have thought, on Adam O'Brien and the first half of next season for the Knights.
Without doubt. Yeah, without doubt. That's why they probably have to look outside the square and maybe look at an Ash Taylor or someone like that. I don't know if Ash Taylor's on a sign-on contract for train and play type thing and train and trial type thing. So there's a few young halfbacks that are in the wings who are playing that type of role at different clubs. So maybe an Ash Taylor might be good for a short-term fix at the Knights. Who knows?
Okay, well, look, Mitchell Pearce, as MG said, we are going to have him on tomorrow, which I'm looking forward to because Mitchell's relationship with the media has been... How would you describe it, MJ?
Love, hate?
Yeah, love, hate.
He loves to hate him.
Well, let's see if we can't send Mitch off from the NRL with a love chat to him tomorrow. What do you reckon?
Oh, I agree. He's been on our show a few times and he seems to enjoy coming on here. So
you bring that out in the boys.
Au revoir, we'll say to him. And
what
we'll
say?
Au revoir. Au revoir.
Yeah, you're pretty close. You're close.
Why? What is it?
Au revoir.
Far out, you...
You're leaving out a syllable.
What's au revoir mean?
I don't know if it's a word.
Au revoir, au revoir, ce soir.
I think it's a... Yeah. All right. MG, now that the T20 World Cup is over, we can shift our attention to the Ashes, which will start in Brisbane early December. Well, we're getting very close.
Oh, yeah.
Getting very, very close. Now, because it's on the way, what is more Australian and that beautifully typifies summer and cricket than a barbecue?
Nothing.
Nothing. You're right.
Nothing.
So we have teamed up with the people, the fantastic people from Harvey Norman, and we've got our hands on some barbecues, and we've got a brand new competition to introduce today.
Shop the latest barbecue range now at Harvey Norman. But right now, it's Triple M's Beat the Pom, isn't it? Triple M's Beat the Pom.
Yes, our Beat the Pom competition, MG.
It will I love the play on words with that. This would be Beat the Bomb. Now it's Beat the Pom.
Beat the Pom. There you go. It will start next week. What we are encouraging you to do today is to go to the Triple M Win page and register your details.
Yep.
Because all you have to do is register and then beat our resident Englishman within the Triple M walls.
Yeah, Barmy Matt.
Barmy Matt.
Yep.
It's a bit like the game show The Chase. We'll ask you a question, a bunch of questions. If you get it right, you get a barbecue.
That's right.
Now, if you get it wrong... Barmy Matt will step in, and he knows his cricket, so there's every chance you'll lose the barbecue. But it's as simple as that. Triple
the hardest
win
part
page.
About all this, the hardest part about all this is just registering. Register, and that's as easy as it gets. Come on.
Exactly.
Want a brand new barbecue, thanks to Harvey Norman. Get on it. Let's go.
Pull your finger out.
Yes.
Grab your mouse or grab your phone, whatever device you're on.
Triple M
win page, register, and then next week you could be walking away with a Massport 4-burner barbecue.
Oh, wow.
You can shop the latest barbecue range now at Harvey Norman. It says we've only got 5 of these to give away. We might only have 3 by the time we get to the competition next week, MG.
Hey,
I'm looking after you as well.
Yeah, I know. I've just got a brand new Barbie, thanks.
Oh, did you? Thanks to Harvey Norman?
Thanks to Harvey Norman. I actually bought one from Harvey Norman. But these guys, you can win one, just you got to know your cricket. You got to know your English Australia Ashes cricket to beat on our resident...
Barmy Matt. Beat the
Barmy Matt.
Barmy Matt, our resident Englishman. Triple M win page. Register if you want to play Beat the Pom next week to win yourself a barbecue thanks to our mates at Harvey Norman. MG, more news from the world of rugby league. Let's start it off with Clint Gutherson, the king of Parramatta. The captain, probably the most consistent player for that club over the last 2-3 years as they've pushed deep in finals. And yet there's no new deal done. And over the weekend we see reports of... genuine interest in quotation marks from rival clubs. Is this just another case of a Clint Gutherson negotiation being played out in the media by his management and the club?
Well, you know what? You can think that because of what's happened in the past, but I genuinely think that there's, of course, there would be outside interest and genuine interest for Clint Gutherson because he's a quality player. I think the Eels want 2 years at 1.5 mil, the extension, but I think Sam wants 3 years. So that seems the contentious part of it. I would just take the 2 years if I was Sam and say, look, back myself. I'll be 30 when I finish that contract or close to it. So, but Sam also, he manages Junior Paulo and Reed Marnie as well. So he's got his hands full at the moment on, on different guys from different, Reed Marnie's been linked to clubs. We'll talk about him in a sec. But Big Junior looks like each day that passes looks like he could be a Dolphin.
Ooh, that would be a monumental get. For the expansion.
Well, especially
club.
When we thought it was Reed Campbell-Gillard. Reed Campbell-Gillard was the man who was going to go there, but now it might be his front row partner.
It might have been a really nice bit of business Reed Campbell-Gillard's management did in hindsight by coming out like he did and stating that I'm open to all offers however many weeks ago. Just quickly, before we move from Clint Gutherson.
Just on that too, managers have never had a bigger voice in our game.
No, I know.
Managers have never had a bigger voice.
Yep. Clint Gutherson, for mine, and this is just, I've never played the game, but I see what this guy brings to that club, and I know that he had some on-field moments. This is a guy who he can't quite crack the New South Wales State of Origin side at the moment for positional reasons, but has consistently been one of the best fullbacks in the competition, a position that matters more than it ever has in the game. I can't believe that the Parramatta wouldn't be prepared to come to the table with a third year for him. It just strikes me as unbelievable.
Look, it's I don't think his age is on his side. When you consider, all the fullbacks in our game, the Pappenhausens, the Turbos, the Jaden Campbells, the Dylan Edwardses, even the Blake Tafts and Pongers of the world, they're just the name, the semi-final teams. I struggled with, look, would Gutho be in the top fullbacks in the competition at the moment?
Of course he would.
Well, that's the thing. I know he gives all every week. I know he gives everything.
He's never injured.
He's never injured. He's actually the opposite of, he just does everything wholeheartedly. But you've got to have a fullback that sets tries up, and you've got to have a try. Okay. He's got to be a ball player. He's got to have more strings to his bow. That's why I would love to see him, swap every now and then at 5'8" for the Eels and get the hand his hand on the ball a lot more, because he throws a fantastic pass. It just doesn't seem to be in their arsenal or their game plan that includes him in them free flowing back line play.
Yeah, so, fair enough. Okay.
But I'm probably being a little bit harsh. He probably would be in the top 10 fullbacks, but gee, there's a nice crop of fullbacks laying around when you think of these young kids coming through.
I don't know why I'm so passionate about Gutho, but I just feel like, anyway. Hey,
he's a good, because he's a good bloke.
Yeah. Anyway, staying with Parramatta, Reed Marnie has suddenly got one less option on the table. Ben Eichen from the Broncos has come out and said that they're out of the race for his services.
Yeah, well, his stack's getting shorter, isn't it? They're sitting at the poker table, and all of a sudden, Brandon Smith's money's going up while his is going down, and he's got like maybe two options left. That one is the Bulldogs, and one is the Eels.
Mm.
And if you think he's going to stay in, you'd think that if he's going to stay in Sydney, he'd stay with the Eels. But you think maybe that now this might open up if the Titans lose Brandon Smith, well, then they might chase him. Who knows? But I would be. If Reed's unhappy at Parramatta, well, then you leave. But if you just want more money and you that's what your manager's job is to do, to get you more money, then you want to stay in Sydney, well, stay with the Eels. Mm. Like, what's the point? What's the point of leaving a club? And for obviously the Bulldogs are going to offer him a lot more money than the Eels would. But I noticed that they've stalled all contract chat with them three players that I mentioned, Reed, Junior Paulo and Clint Gutherson at Parramatta, to give them more time. So this is still bubbling away. We haven't heard the last of this yet.
No, absolutely not. And quickly, before we move on, has MG been paying attention, see if he's paid attention to sport outside of rugby league this weekend? Luke Metcalf, a young man that you are incredibly bullish on as a talent, has officially signed a 2-year deal to join the Warriors.
Massive loss for the Sharkies. Massive loss. I said this time last year about a young guy called Schuster. Keep your eye on him.
Yes,
he's going to be a superstar. This Luke Metcalf. I saw him play for Newtown against Penrith before lockdown this year at Bluebet Stadium, and he just tore up the Panthers on his own. This kid is special. This is the game's next big superstar, in my opinion, is Luke Metcalf. I think it's a massive loss for the Sharkies. It's a fantastic gain for the Warriors.
Well, the Warriors have got him from 2023 and 2024, so the Sharkies and Craig Fitzgibbon have got 12 months to try and change his mind.
He's only 22 years of age too, so he's got a lot of footy ahead of him.
Yeah, absolutely. You're listening to The Rush Hour with MG and Liam on Triple M. Thanks to The Star, MG. You love The Star. Are they still Nothing looking better. After you at the Star?
They always look after me.
Yeah.
No matter what. They look after everyone who's been good to them. And I've always been good to them. And
basically,
good to
they
me.
Look after anybody who walks through the door.
Especially
this month, because it's Yesvember. See what I did? Oh, I didn't
yes
do it. The Star have done it.
It's no, the Star have done it.
It's Yesvember at the Star. So it means go and have your catch-up. Say yes to a quick catch-up, long lunch, non-stop, entertainment, whatever you want. Say yes to it at the Star for Yesvember.
Love it.
How could you say no? That's why it's called Yesvember. It's very clever. Try it all.
The restaurants, the hotels there, the accommodation, the service is second to none.
Mm. All right, MG, let's find out if you've been paying attention to everything outside of rugby league this weekend.
Has MG been paying attention?
A host of other sport going on, MG. The way this game works, I play you a little clip from the weekend. You've got to tell me the sport and the story. Let's start it off somewhere we don't spend a lot of time on this show.
Remy has emulated his father's success. He's celebrating down there on the left.
Remy Gardner, son of Wayne, who won the second level of the Moto GP.
Australia have a Moto2 world champion. It's Remy. He's done it. Moto2 world champion 2021, Remy Gardner.
Very nice work, MG. Remy Gardner coming 10th at the Valencia Grand Prix. It was enough to secure him the world title. He will now graduate into the Premier class, which is MotoGP next year.
Yes.
Passing of the torch, perhaps, ships in the night, because Valentino Rossi finished up his incredible MotoGP career over the weekend at Valencia.
Fantastic. And Remy's father, Wayne, didn't he put Australia on the map?
Second ever father-son combination to have MotoGP World Championships.
Oh, wow. Well, who's the first?
I don't have that information. Yeah, from me. Why do you do that?
Have you been paying attention?
Why do you do that to me?
You do a lot of things to me that I
Next one. What's the sport? What's the story?
Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me
up. Oh.
Ooh.
Producer Charlie's playing funny buggers here.
Is that the voice?
It is not the voice.
I'd say maybe before a match in Europe, or maybe a union match, maybe before Australia played England, or maybe before New Zealand played Ireland.
I'll go with the first answer.
It's an eighth straight win for that man against his old countryman, Eddie Jones, 8, Australia 0.
Yes,
wow.
Eddie Jones.
He's got a good record, man.
And the Poms defeated us in rugby union over the weekend. 8-0. Since he's been in charge. It feels like he's installed some sort of, you know, like on the, what's the thing in Star Wars that he shoots into?
Never seen Star Wars. Not one episode, not one of the movies.
I know this is a sports show, but I feel like we need to change tack. You've never seen Star Wars?
Never seen him.
Well, then you won't understand the reference. There's at some point, one of the guys in one of the ships shoots into a tiny little thing and it blows up the big thing. I feel like Eddie Jones has left a tiny little crack in the Wallaby side that he knows how to exploit. Because we can't beat him.
Yeah, I know. He's got an amazing record against it. And they ran away with it in the end, the English. And it was a big game. It was a big weekend for the European Union teams with England and Ireland both beating Australia and New Zealand. So, well done to them.
Mm. And lastly, MG, what is the sport? What is the story?
We've done it with the health and safety of our players, our staff, and the wider community at the forefront. And we've also done it based on government advice and the best health advice.
It could be one of two. I know that Liam Jones in the AFL is retiring because he won't get the jab, and John Asiata is doing the same in rugby league.
Carlton's Liam Jones has become the first AFL player to retire after refusing to budge on his COVID vaccine stance.
Walked away from the final year of his contract with Carlton, valued at about $400,000 to $500,000.
Wow.
The release yesterday from the club said it was due to personal reasons. I think you could probably read between the lines and assume it's to do with the vaccine, which he was reluctant to get, and now he doesn't have to.
Well, then he's right to do so.
Yeah.
You know what exactly? You know what's in store for you if you don't, and that's exactly what's on the table. And I think John Asiata said the same thing. He said, "I'd rather be a brickies labourer than get the jab." So
I wonder how many more of those we will see before the start of round one NRL next year.
I think we'll see a lot more.
Yeah,
I think we'll see a lot more.
It's I mean, John Asiata, $200,000 contract, nothing to sneeze at. But I wonder where the number is, you know, where the dollar figure gets
well,
to.
Well, there's a list going around on the weekend of the NRL players. There's about 25 of them who are refusing to get the jab, all the way from Jason Taumalolo down to kids on 70K as a normal little contract at a club. So, you know, there's going to be 25 players who I think won't be playing next year.
Wow. All right, that is us done for the day. Tomorrow on the show, the man who MG is prepared to say au revoir?
Au revoir.
Au revoir.
Au revoir, au revoir.
Au revoir.
I'm going to say both to him.
Okay.
Why don't we give him, because you're very good at French, why don't we give Mitchell Pearce tomorrow a French test?
All right.
What does beer say in French? Wine? Baguette? What's a baguette?
See? Well, it's the same in English.
What? A baguette?
It's a baguette.
It's French for yogurt.
Do you just want to pick words that we use in English that are French words?
That's right. Like baguette. Chicken. What's chicken in French?
Chicken is poulet.
Baguette?
No, that's the noise a chicken makes.
Oh, okay. Anyway, as always.
Mitchell Pearce will be on tomorrow. Got no idea how this chat will go, but make sure you tune in. You won't want to miss it either way. MG, say goodbyes.
Because it'll be epic, as you are our listeners. Thank you so much for your ears. He's Liam. I'm MG. Wherever you are, stay random.
Yes, Vember, at the Star Sydney. With so much happening, how could you say no?